So for me, the day started as a regular nondescript day. I was preparing to see my patients. We sometimes sit at the computer and look through labs and a lot of the data from the previous day. And I picked up my phone and saw news that had just broken at that moment of three coordinated suicide bombings that had just occurred in Brussels, Belgium. In the airport and a train station had been attacked ruthlessly. And I went through the all-too-familiar ritual that a lot of Muslims go through many times of hoping that the perpetrators would not be identified as Muslim in the very end. There's this voice in the back of your mind that you keep hearing, please don't be Muslim, please don't be Muslim. Because you know a cycle will ensue, a cycle of polarization, of vilification. And sometimes, and at the very end, collective guilt is a sign for many of the adherents of Islam at the very end of all of that. So as I went into my patient's room that day, I was, I guess, saddled or burned with some of these thoughts. And when I went to examine her, I saw that she was completely engrossed on the television. Fox News was providing coverage of everything that was going on in Brussels at the time. And she was distressed, outraged, and it was quite palpable. As I examined her, she started speaking, was very upset, and inevitably looked at me and said, these foreign people only come here to kill and ruin things. And then she said, Donald Trump is right. America should ban all Muslims from immigrating here. Naturally, my response was I was shaken. It was a jarring experience. That's the last thing you expect to hear from her. And at the very end, she concluded and said, I'm sorry, but your people and people who look like you make me uncomfortable. And she refused to let me take care of her any further, refused to let me provide any further medical treatment. I sat there, I wondered, in terms of my humanity, my sincerity, medical training for all these years, how it had been made irrelevant in just a mere seconds. And with her words, the xenophobia and Islamophobia that's been ascendant in our current political climate suddenly infiltrated the sacred patient-doctor relationship. This was a relationship and bond that I always felt was impregnable, and suddenly it had become permeable to discrimination. I always felt that the vocation of healing was something paramount, something greater than politics, something greater than our perceived differences. But that proved not to be the case. And what it showed to me was that sometimes patients can retain some of their most darkest biases, even as stable health eludes them, even when they're tenuous in terms of their medical status. The larger picture and larger significance of all of this for me personally was that I understood what was going on in our country at the time. Donald Trump's rhetoric and its implications were very obvious to me. But I thought that I understood these more in the abstract. I felt that these were confined more to social media and to rallies in faraway places that were televised on CNN, Fox News, MSNBC. I never felt this rhetoric would personally reach me, that it would come for me personally, especially being a physician, someone who was born here in the United States. But I guess I should have known better than that. As we understand, medicine is not practiced in a vacuum. It's not an insulated environment. It's unfortunately subject to the same things and same forces that are affecting the rest of our world. And the current forces and Islamophobic rhetoric that's thriving currently and is inciting and galvanizing voters is permeating into our hospitals and clinics. A study was done last year which showed that Muslim physicians who comprise about 5% of overall U.S. physicians, 1 in 10 of these doctors said that a patient had refused their medical care because they were Muslim. So clearly my experience was not a complete aberration. So as the rest of our patient encounter concluded that day, I stood at the periphery and just watched. I was trying to suppress whatever impulses I had to respond with anger, respond with indignation, because I knew that would only lead to a cycle of further alienation, further polarization. And naturally, as a physician, you wonder, what responsibilities do I have left to my physician in face of this bigotry? Am I obligated to do anything else or any more for this individual? The first place that most physicians look to is the Hippocratic Oath, naturally. That is the oath that we take when we enter medical school, and that's pretty much our steadfast commitment that we will heal patients indiscriminately, whether it's sexual orientation, gender, race, or even religion. And it basically guards and blocks, shields patients from some of our darkest impulses as physicians. But unfortunately, it does not provide guidance when the physician is the target of this intolerance or is subjected to these indignities. And as I looked for inspiration, I needed something far greater and something far more. As I called it, to reconcile my wounded personal dignity with the principles that were enshrined in the Hippocratic Oath. And that's when I found my Islam, or at least my personal inspiration of what my understanding of Islam is. There was a very pertinent one verse that I read a while back. A verse from the Quran, "Believers, stand firm for God. Be witnesses for justice. Never allow the hatred of people to prevent you from being just. Be just, for this is closest to righteousness." Further, there's another verse from the Quran that talks about how saving one life is akin to saving humanity. And these are some of the things that any individual of faith is inspired and is compelled to meditate because of similar verses that I'm sure exist in all religious textbooks. The important thing to know about Islam is that in the original origin of Islam, it was a revolutionary movement, obviously, that challenged and upended the social order, the entrenched social order of the time. And naturally, there was resistance. And a lot of the individuals who converted to Islam early on were subjected to ridicule and persecution and abuses of many sorts. But these individuals persisted on because they were holding on to something greater than themselves. And as a personal Muslim, I felt that I was inheriting a part of this legacy. And that, at least at the moment, prevented me from being consumed by complete rage. And I felt that if I was inheriting this legacy and if I was cognizant of their sacrifices, that I should at least resist this temptation to retreat into cynicism and rage. And finally, and most importantly, there's something that's a term known as jihad, which is obviously in our current political environment a very loaded term, understandably, and has been understood, and the connotations are definitely going to be understood. But the word jihad means simply just a struggle. And for a Muslim, that struggle, that jihad, means removing any obstacles that exist from realizing and living a divinely inspired life. And this divinely inspired life is what compels you and instills these virtues of compassion, understanding, and justice. And at least my selfish focus on myself and my own damaged ego and on how this lady had insulted me I felt a distraction from this greater purpose that I was trying to achieve, and at least a distraction from the life that I was trying to live. Further, I think becoming a physician, most importantly, as soon as you take that Hippocratic Oath, you accept a very public role, and you become a kind of ambassador for your faith or a kind of representative. Whether that's something you want to accept or not, just by definition being a public servant, being in a public role, you become that ambassador. And that's an important role. Pew Research Center a couple years ago found that Americans are most likely to have a favorable opinion of Muslims if they actually know one. And this currently made sense at the moment to me, because when I reflected on that and being cognizant of that, I realized that the conversations that I have with patients daily seem inconsequential. They seem mundane at times. We talk about sports. We talk about weather. We talk about our families. And though they may seem of little relevance, they potentially have a transformative power. Why? Because these interactions sometimes allow us to realize that we share common hopes and we have common fears. And this is in line with something that Obama has said, a line of Obama's that's very popular and very powerful for me recently. He says, seeing ourselves in each other. And I think when we have these conversations, they are transformative because we do see ourselves in each other when we have these types of interactions. The important thing in the larger significance and the big picture of my interaction with this patient was that people like Trump and his ilk are attempting to strip individuals like Muslims, refugees, African Americans, Muslims, and women of their common humanity. They're trying to dehumanize these individuals to make us believe that these individuals are no longer worthy of our sympathies and should garner our malice and our anger. But most importantly for me, I felt medicine is something that's far greater than one presidential candidate. Medicine is something great, far greater than one patient experience that went awry. It's powerful. Its finest and noblest traditions are transcendent. And I felt that my faith, which incorporates the Hippocratic Oath, but also preaches mutual respect and tolerance were most important and continue to compel me and are the sources of my continued dignity despite these types of interactions today. And at the very end, that's why the next day when I came to the same patient's door, I had no reluctance or hesitation to knock, and that's what I did.